I don't think I could have asked for a better song than the one that the brother led to get us into the lesson. I forgot the Bible that I wanted to use at the start to thank you for being here and what it feels like in my heart that we are here together to talk about God and talk about His gospel and His Son Jesus Christ, which makes the gospel possible. I'm not going to tell you how long I've known some of the brethren here because that would make them old like I am. But I've known several of them for a long, long time. And so it's an honor for us to be invited here today. And I thank the elders. I thank the congregation so very much. I want to read to you Psalm 133. It's not very long, three verses. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard, that the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. It is a great honor for me to be here. Always when I have an opportunity to stand before brothers and sisters in Christ, I went the wrong way, and to preach the gospel. I want to talk about, I said about the brother leading that song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. What if Jesus had come yesterday? You ever think about that? What if Jesus had come yesterday? Judgment would have come yesterday. You see there, I hope you can see that. Got a picture of the righteous standing before Jesus Christ and the unrighteous. If you look at Mark 13, starting with verse 32, it set the background for us. It says, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, and when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Brethren, that's a warning to us. We do not know when the Lord will come. Now, we tend to think, well, someday he'll come. That's what everybody used to think. But we need to be more like the people of the first century, the Apostle Paul. Let's be ready now. You know, the Boy Scouts didn't come up with that, be prepared. God came up with that a long time ago. Be prepared. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Brother Henry and I were talking this morning, how easy it is for Satan to creep into our lives. He doesn't come boldly and just jump right on us. He just sneaks in. He gets us to leave a little bit at a time. And before long, we're gone to the world. As a rule, we think of and talk about the coming of Jesus some future tense. And even if we don't talk that way, we think that way because sometimes we're living things and doing things that we ought not to be doing. But because of the fact that Jesus has not come in judgment upon all humanity, but today, this morning, right now, I'd like for us to approach the concept of the second coming of Jesus in the past tense. I would like for us to come to some kind of understanding of what today would be like if Jesus had come yesterday. If Jesus had come yesterday, it would have silenced numerous things that are common to all of us. Wars, bloodshed, loss of loved ones and friends, and lands and homes, all be gone. Lust, for money or possessions, we wouldn't have those. Criticism of elders and teachers and preachers and brethren, wouldn't be any of that. Crime, murders and arson, robbery and such like. Hunger, the cries of the hungry would be heard no more. If Jesus had come yesterday, it would mean that each of us would now be in eternity. We're either going to be standing before Christ on the right side and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or we're going to be with the sheep on the left when he says, depart, I never knew you. Those are the only two choices. This idea that some of the denominations have, that there's a holding place. We're not good enough to go to heaven, or we're not bad enough to go to hell. There's some kind of holding place. That's not in the Bible. When we stand before God, He's either going. Jesus said, "I'm going to put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left," and that's the way it's going to be. And so we need to be ready for that. Each of us is an eternal being, regardless of what men say who attempt to teach otherwise. Therefore, had God chose yesterday to bring about the judgment, we would now be in eternity. Take your Bible and look at John 5, 28 and 29. Don't be surprised at this. A time is coming when all people who are dead and in their graves will hear His voice. Then they will come out of their graves. Then those who did good in this life will rise and have eternal life. But those who did evil will rise and be condemned. Again, only two choices. There can be no doubt concerning this if we accept what the Bible says as the Word of God. The question is not, would we be in eternity? But rather it is, where in eternity? And again, there's only two choices. The Bible clearly teaches us that there are two destinations for the final abode of all souls, heaven. That's where we all want to go. That's where we say we all want to go. We need to be prepared for that, as we talked earlier, to go to heaven. If Jesus came back in the next moment, we'll talk about that. In Matthew 25 and 34, then the king will say to those on his right, "My Father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created." That's what we all want. But we have to be prepared now. You know, it might not depend on whether or not we have to wait till Jesus comes back. We might die today, and judgment is set. We don't know that all of us will ever be together in this room this afternoon. I hope and pray that we are, but we don't know that. And so we need to be prepared. Look in John 14, 1 through 4. John 14 and 1 through 4. Jesus said to His disciples, "Don't be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in Me. There are many rooms in My Father's house. I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. I'm going to prepare a place for each of you. After I have done this, I will come back and take you with Me. Then we will be together. You know the way to the place where I am going." In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, it talks about the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the people who have died and were in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive at that time will be gathered up with those who have died. Now get this. We will be taken up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And the King James says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." There's not this mix and match stuff that people talk about. The righteous are going to be with the Lord for eternity. We need to understand that. And we will be with the Lord forever. And the Bible clearly teaches the other destination is hell. Matthew 25, 41. Then the king will say to the evil people on his left hand, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25, 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The righteous to eternal life. 2 Thessalonians again, 1, 6 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9. "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you." So we don't have to worry about people when they mistreat us and when they hurt us. God's going to take care of that. "Vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do excuse me, not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's this verse do to these people that say, well, God's not going to punish anybody. God just loves everybody so much, nobody will be punished. What's that verse do? That verse makes that statement a lie. You're going to take punishment on those who don't know God and who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. If Jesus had come yesterday, where would you be right now? I don't want you to say, where would Richard be? I want you to look at your own heart of hearts and say, where would I be if Jesus had come yesterday? And remember, there's only two choices. And if you're in the wrong choice, you can make it right now, so you'll be in the right choice. If you're married, where would your mate be? If you have accountable children, where would your children be? Supposing that Jesus came yesterday, let's think about your life as it was yesterday. Were you about your Father's business? I see only you can answer that question. The only other person who knows whether or not you were about your Father's business is the Father. But I certainly can't answer that for you, nor you for me. But if you look in Luke 2:49, Jesus said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? 12 years old. Gone for 2 or 3 days from his family. They found him in the temple. Astounding the people. This just shows you that young people, you can astound the grown-up by studying your Bible and knowing your Bible and knowing what to say when people ask you. Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Were you expecting the Lord yesterday if He came? 2 Timothy 4:6-8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. This is the Apostle Paul. But you look at his attitude. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm getting ready to die. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now watch it. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Paul was looking forward to the righteous judge and the righteous crown. Wanted it, looking forward to it. Lived the life, knowing that he was going to get that. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved, longed for his appearing. Do you long for the appearing of Jesus Christ? Again, a question that only us as individuals can answer. Are we longing for that? As a Christian, what was your attitude yesterday? Were you indifferent toward the church? Revelation 3:16, so because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold. Let me ask you a question. You ever been out on a hot day and you just want a cool drink of water? And you pick up a glass and you drink it and it's warm. What do you want to do with that? You almost want to spit it out, don't you? You look at this now, what Jesus is saying. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I said this morning, take a stand. And that's what God is telling you. Take a stand. Either be hot or be cold. Don't try to walk this mediocrity down the middle of the road. That's not going to get us any place. Being cold is not going to get you any place in near heaven either. So be hot or cold. Take a stand. You make the decision of what you want to do. Do you have coldness toward a brother or a sister? Somebody that just does something, just bugs you to death. Let me tell you what you do. And we all get upset with each other. I understand that. But when you're upset with somebody, when they won't do right by you, and you have that in your heart that you just can't stand to be around, when you pray, and every time you pray, put them on the top of your prayer list. Because if your heart is right, you're not going to pray for somebody that you're upset with. You're going to want God to intervene with that person and help that person do what's right. John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also have loved one for another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now everybody in this room, this just came to me to ask, everybody knows John 3:16. Now you do, you go like this. But do you know 1 John 3:16? It's a good verse to memorize. Because Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Think about that. The next time you're so upset with somebody, you think about that and you pray for that person. Do you owe an apology to a fellow Christian? Matthew 18, 15, if your brother sins against you, and go tell him his fault between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. You know the first thing people tell me about that? Oh, it's hard. That's just hard. Well, I guarantee you, I know how hard it is. Because I've had to go to a sister and apologize for hurting her. To go to her house and sit on her couch and look her in the eye and ask her to forgive me. And it's hard. But you know what? It's worth it. Because that's what God wants us to do. And you'll feel a burden lifted from your heart if you do that. Romans 12 and verse 18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So make sure you're the one that's being peaceful and not being the other way around. What was your relationship to Christ yesterday? As you stood before God, would Jesus have claimed you as his own? Matthew 10:32. I'm sorry. If you stand before others and are willing to say you believe in me, then I will tell my Father in heaven that you belong to me. And now we know this is not just saying, well, I believe in Jesus. No, a lot of people think that's all you have to say. This means acting, doing what God wants you to do. Defending Jesus before the world. And if we do this, he says, I'll tell my Father in heaven that you belong to me. But if you stand before others and say you do not believe in me, you don't live the life, you don't act like you're supposed to, then I will tell my Father in heaven that you do not belong to me. Luke 12 and verse 8. I tell you, if anyone stands before others and says that he believes in me, then I will say that he belongs to me. I will say this before the angels of God. Jesus, the intercessor. Jesus stands before God and defends us. Regardless how we might have done and the things we might have said, unworthy to stand before God in the judgment, Jesus said, I will defend you. I'll be your advocate. What was your relationship to Christ yesterday? 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You are a nation that belongs to God alone. I wonder if we realize how special that makes us. You know, of all the tribes of Israel, the 11 tribes of Israel, they all had a land promise. The Levites had no land promise. You know why? They belonged to God. Now, I know everybody belonged to God, but they were special. God was their inheritance. And you compare that to what we are. We're God's special people. We belong to God. Jesus paid a price for us. He paid the price for all of humankind to understand. If the next time, if you ever get to a point in your life where you say, I'm just not worth anything. God could not possibly love me. I want you to remember this one thing. You're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that's what God paid for us. And always remember that. God chose you to tell about the wonderful things he has done. I don't know about you, but that kind of boggles my mind that God gives us, he could have done it many ways, I suppose, but he gives us the responsibility. Paul says these clay vessels, imperfect, easy to shatter. But he's given us the great mission to tell the world about his Son. He called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. If Jesus had come yesterday, today would be too late to learn the Lord and love him. Too late. To study the Bible, to know what to do, to know what God wants you to do. To be faithful in attendance. Too late. Won't be any more attendance. There'll only be heaven and hell. Too late to preach the gospel. Too late to give as we should. Too late to think about prayer. Won't be any need for prayer. All the prayers will be answered for us. Too late to obey the gospel. It is only in this life that we have that opportunity. Repent, Peter says to them, and be baptized. Let me give you something else before I forget it later on. I usually use this in the invitation. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. He begins to tell the people what they had done, that they had taken the Son of God, laid calloused hands upon him, and had crucified the Son of God. It says when they realized what they had done, they cried aloud, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In other words, we've done this, Peter. We admit that we've done it. We admit that we took the Christ and we had him on the cross and we took his life from him. Now, what do we do? How do we get out from under this? And for the first time in history, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And people say today, "No, you don't have to be baptized. What are you talking about?" The first time in history the question is asked, what do we have to do? And the first time the answer comes is repent and be baptized. And man stands up and said, "No, we don't have to do that." Well, they're right. They don't have to do that. But you're not going to go to heaven without it. In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Will you be found among the accepted? If Christ had come yesterday, would you have been found among the accepted, or would you be found among the rejected? Now you see, we're fortunate because we've got today. Jesus didn't come yesterday. And so if our lives are not right, we can make them right today. And if they're right, then we can grow in that life and be better than we are. The invitation is this: lost, a sinner without hope. Outside of Christ, no hope. We hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the gospel. We believe in Jesus Christ that he is indeed the Son of God, that he's who he said he was. And repent of our sins. Confess sin, that we're done with sin. We don't want to sin. We want to be forgiven of that. We want to stand justified before God. And confess Jesus Christ before men, and he will confess us before his Father. And be baptized for the remission of sin. Let me go back to baptism a moment. You can go through the whole book of the New Testament, and you cannot find one place, or I have not found in 50 years one place, where anybody has ever given or promised the forgiveness of sin, salvation, a home in heaven, or anything that pertains to that without being baptized in water for the remission of sin. Now, if you've got that verse, I'd appreciate it if you give it to me, because I haven't been able to find it. In Christ, we're saved. We're headed to the church. Doesn't mean we go and live and do anything we want to. No, we can't do that. Now the world out there in the denomination, they say once saved, always saved. And the sad thing of it is, brethren, too many Christians, we say, no, that's not right. But we live that way. We've got to quit doing that. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just talking about in our lives, we have to understand that we have to live the life that's pure as we can make it. In Christ Jesus we're saved, added to the church. And then we're to grow. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. Sometimes we get to the point, we teach somebody, and they finally they're baptized, and then we just, okay, they're in the church now, that's all right. No. No, that's like going home if you've got a fish tank and you take your little fish out and lay him on the table, he won't live very long. We need to keep teaching, talking. We never get through learning. So we need to grow. Peter says grow in faith and knowledge. And then we need to stay faithful to death. Not up to the point of death, but all the way through death. Gary Sandusky told me one night time at the preaching at Memphis, told us about an event over, I think, Kenya or someplace over there, someplace overseas. Years and years ago, and the people came to this town, terrorists, told this small congregation, they had the elders, told the elders, said, you're not going to preach your gospel anymore, not going to preach. He said, you're not going to assemble. He said, oh yes, we're going to assemble. No, you're not going to assemble. And they took his little 8-year-old boy, and they took him several hundred miles away, had him as a prisoner. The little boy escaped and made his way home, blinded in one eye because they'd put his eye out. And the little boy, when Gary was telling us this, you know what he was doing? He was preaching the gospel. I said earlier, we don't know what torture is, and we don't know what torment is, but we may someday, brother. And so we need to be prepared. Jesus is coming soon. How soon, I don't know. But I want to be ready. And I want you to be ready. If you're here today, and you're in need of the gospel, need to be obeying, everything stands ready for you to be able to do that. And we beg you to come now as we stand and sing.